been on a long road with the devil right beside me. Rising with the morning sun, it's a hunger that drives me. Oh Lord, set my soul, take my pain and turn it into gold. 'Cause all I know, all I know, all I know is
hey guys, and welcome back to yet another episode of Black Cloud Society. Thanks for tuning in again. I really appreciate it. I know that the last time we had spoken, I mentioned that we were going to be having our first guest host. However, I wasn't anticipating on having to produce this current episode. This is kind of a bonus episode for the month, if you will. And that is because a situation occurred to me over this past weekend that really kind of messed with my head a little bit, and made me question a lot of things, question some mentality issues, question some humility issues, and ego issues, really. And I wanted to share with you that experience and rectify some things that were wrong on this public forum, because that's the mission of this show. That is the mission of Black Cloud Society, is to shed light on the mindset, shed light on things that go wrong to each and every one of us on a daily basis, and show that it's all about mentality and how your mistakes don't necessarily define you, or they don't have to define you, if you're willing to accept the fact that you were wrong and made a mistake and are willing to do what needs to be done to make it right. And for me, in order to make it right, it means I have to do it on this public forum, because I know that while some of you listeners, it doesn't necessarily apply to, some of you were in the audience this weekend, and I owe it to you to set the record straight. So you may find that the title of this episode being The Morning After Pill is kind of awkward, but I chose that as the title because of the fact that I came to this realization of everything that occurred over the weekend, literally the morning after, and it was an extremely hard pill to swallow. So I hope you'll stay tuned. I hope you'll listen, and I hope you get something out of it that you can use and apply to your own situation, and realize that as long as you're willing to do what's need to be done to make things right, regardless of how much pride you have to swallow, regardless of how difficult the pill that is to swallow, that you are willing to do what needs to be done to clear the air and set the record straight, hopefully regain some credibility. But more important than credibility, maintain integrity. So without further delay, we'll get into this week's content, and I will begin the story. Stay tuned. Every time I knock down, it's the struggle that reminds me. So heaven don't feel me now, put the wings upon my feet. Oh Lord, set my soul, take my pain and turn it into gold. 'Cause all I know, all I know, all I know is champion, I can take a beat now. So for those of you that are unaware, the last 14 months for me have been an absolute whirlwind of really the culmination of 13 years of hard work coming to fruition and meeting quite a handful of both personal and professional goals that I had set over the course of those years. One of which was to transition from ground EMS into critical care air medicine, which I did, as you know. The second one was to launch a podcast show for people to listen to and learn from, which also happened. The last one was to kind of break into the speaker world at EMS conferences around the country, which also happened recently. I was given the opportunity to speak at a small one last year, which was a great opportunity, great experience, learned a lot from it. But most recently, this past weekend, I was invited to speak at a larger regional conference of about 200 or so attendees. Now, the previous conference I had spoken to, each individual class session was broken up into breakout sessions where the attendees could pick and choose what classes they wanted to attend and, you know, different side classrooms or whatnot. And it was about 20 to 25 people in my presentation. But the conference that was this past weekend was a different format. It was auditorium style format where everyone is in the same room, subject to the same classes, and the educators are limited to 30 minutes, more of a TED Talk style type of presentation. That way everybody in the room gets the same presentation, so you don't have to pick and choose which class you want to take if, you know, there was more than one going on at the same time and having to choose, and you get the idea. It was beyond an honor to have even been chosen to make the cut for the speaker panels, but I was super, super excited about it, and it felt like it was, you know, literally the culmination of 13 years worth of work it put into that particular moment. Like, I felt like, you know what, I finally made it. This is everything I've ever wanted. Here I am. Over the course of a couple months, you know, it took me a little while to put together the presentation and work on all the transitions. And I even went and took a public speaking course, which had some extra activities as far as tips and tricks with PowerPoint, tips and tricks with Keynote, and all that stuff. To basically, I wanted this presentation to be absolutely perfect. I wanted there to be no question that I was, you know, adequately prepared for this thing. For me, in my mentality, it was a make or break moment. You know, how you do on this, you know, presentation in this venue, in this environment, is going to set the precedence or set your reputation in that speaker circuit to whether or not people continue to have you back. That was my mentality. So I wanted it to be on point. Fast forward to the day of the conference, and as I'm driving to the venue, which was about a 3.5 hour ride for me, I just kept going over my presentation over and over to the point where I had even recorded it and was listening to it over and over and over the entire ride. You know, like I said, I wanted there to be no question that I was ready for this moment. I was scheduled to be the closing talk of the day, so which in my mind, you know, maybe put a little bit of unnecessary pressure on myself for that, you know, that famous internal self dialogue that I'm always talking about. So because I was the last speaker of the day, I wanted to make sure that everybody left on a good note and everybody left and everybody was going to remember me. You know what I mean? Because the closing talk, that's the one, it was going to be the talk of the day. You know, everyone was going to be talking about it the following day. At least that's the narrative that I was telling myself. So perhaps only setting myself up for failure, but we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But my time to go on comes up. I was wicked nervous. Had downed probably about 3 or 4 bottles of water right before I went out because I was just so, so dry. And was trying to gather my thoughts and get ready to go. I get up there and I go through my whole talk exactly how I had rehearsed it 43 million times the entire ride up to the venue. And closed it out, and that was the end of the day. I was excited, had some pretty decent feedback, actually really good feedback from quite a handful of students, or attendees, I should say, that came up afterwards and told me how much they enjoyed it and what they got out of it, and thanked me for coming, and the whole nine yards, you know. I was on absolute cloud 9. I had made it. These people loved me. I was getting good reviews. And it was just like, I was feeling amazing for all of about 2 minutes. At that point, one of the other educators from previously in the day pulled me aside and approached me and was like, "Hey, enjoyed your presentation. Not trying to bust you, but I noticed something wrong with your presentation." And right then and there, like, my entire world just came to a halt. I'm sure he could, you know, see right through me, because I have a problem with facial expressions and being able to control them at times. But in my mind, anyway, I tried not to appear as though I was, you know, crazily offended. But in my mind, I'm like, who is this guy? Number one, who are you? Number two, who do you think you are? You know, coming up to me 2 minutes after I just, you know, gave this great talk, telling me that there's a problem with it. Like, can you step off for a couple seconds and just let me take this all in, because I worked hard to get here? Like, I had all these things just rushing through my mind, you know, in a matter of 8 seconds, trying to process what he was telling me. Now, looking back, that was definitely not the best attitude to have on the situation, but, you know, sometimes our internal emotions, our internal dialogue gets the best of us, and we can't get our own ego out of the way. And sometimes it takes someone with vastly more experience, vastly more knowledge to approach us and rapidly slap us back into reality and let us know that we're not everything that we think we are at that particular moment. So we talked for a little while about the presentation and about the areas that he had an issue with. And it comes down to, in part of my presentation, I was trying to establish the frequency of a certain event happening based off population data from the U.S. Census Bureau. And within the slides, there were some math problems being done, given the percentages that were cited. And apparently, they didn't appear to be correct to this individual. And I probably didn't handle it appropriately. As a matter of fact, I didn't handle it appropriately. Kind of discounted what he said. Showed him my citations, where I got the information. Told him how I came to those numbers. And basically said, "Hey, if you got an issue with it, there's the data. Go ahead and feel free to look it up." And we parted ways for the evening and went about our night. And I tried to enjoy the rest of the night, enjoy the rest of the activities that were taking place throughout the conference, not only for the attendees, but some of the stuff that they had in store for the educators as well. But in the back of my mind, this bothered me. I was past the fact that him questioning me had bothered me, but more of the fact that, why is he questioning me? Am I wrong? Like, did I make a mistake? Did I screw something up? And that prompted me to stay up much of the night looking at the data that I had presented to see if there indeed was a problem. So I stayed up much of the night, redid the math, and, you know, given the numbers that were in the citations that I had got all my data from, redid all the math problems just like I had done before, and came up with the exact same numbers as were being presented. I could not for the life of me understand why the data seemed inappropriate. But whatever, you know, went throughout the rest of the conference. The second day after the first break, that same individual approaches me again with the same thing. He's like, "Look, man, I understand we talked about it yesterday, but it's still bothering me." And I'm like, "I understand, it still bothering me too." And we sat there and we did the math together and came up with the same numbers. And it still wasn't jiving between the two of us. And I was getting kind of agitated. I was trying not to show that I was agitated, but I was honestly pretty agitated. I'm like, "Dude, just drop this, okay? Like, leave me alone. Drop it. It is what it is. The numbers are there. And just leave it at that, okay?" But so the conversation continued a little bit, and we basically parted ways just agreeing to disagree, and that was that. It wasn't until later on that afternoon when I was given the opportunity to look at the session evaluations that I discovered an issue. Now, 98% of those evaluations came back amazing. Out of the 200-something attendees that were there, only 3 or 4 of them had anything less than a 4 on it, you know? But for me, that's a big deal. I am all about excellence, all about maintaining proper performance and being at the top of your game, if at all possible. But it was looking at these evaluations that, the negative evaluations, I should say, that bothered me. One of which also pointed out some issues with some of the data points. And that just sent me into like a tailspin. Again, that internal dialogue took over and I was like, wait a minute. If one of the other educators approached me with potential issue with some of my data points, and then furthermore, one of the attendees has those same concerns, then something is definitely wrong. And I started going through this whole mindset of what just happened. Did I just lead people down a wrong path? Did I, you know, provide misinformation? This whole mental tailspin that caused me to look even further into the data points that were in question. And this subsequently started yet another all-nighter session in my room, going through my slides, slide by slide, going through the data point, number by number, redoing all the math equations, trying to figure out where I had gone wrong, or if I had even gone wrong, you know? At this point, I was more trying to prove two people wrong as opposed to admitting the fact that maybe I had screwed something up. And it wasn't until about 4:30 the following morning, hence the morning after, where I had to swallow the most, probably one of the hardest pills I've had to swallow thus far in my career, and realized that I had inadvertently provided some misinformation to about 200 people. And that I indeed was not correct in my data points, and that this other educator was 100% correct, as well as this other attendee that was also 100% correct, and I was an epic failure. And as you can imagine, my entire world at that point came to a screeching halt. I felt like the last 13 years of working to get where I was have been absolutely in vain, and that I had no business being there, and, you know, what's the point of even continuing to pursue this goal of mine if I can't even make sure one simple slide is correct? And the issue with the slide was, let's put it this way, the math itself was correct. The numbers that were on the slides, given the math equation for that percentage of population, was correct. However, in putting the presentation together, I, rather than put the individual demographic of population I was speaking towards, I inadvertently included the number that represents the entire population of the United States, not just the demographic that I was trying to single out. So therefore, the following 4 slides after that were math based off of the wrong provided number. While the individual math was correct, the math was based off of a wrongly provided number. So therefore it made the following 4 slides incorrect. So therefore I inadvertently educated 200 or so attendees on false information. So feeling super, super credible as an educator right now. Especially since one of the quotes I used in my presentation is that by failing to prepare, we're ultimately preparing to fail. So what better example of that quote other than for me to live it, right? I mean, talk about leading by example. So all in all, I did get a couple takeaways of my own. Here I go into this, you know, conference speaking world with the mentality that I'm going to you know, educate people and impact the practice of some, you know, up and coming providers based off of what I'm saying. And honestly, I'm the one that left with lessons, ones that aren't necessarily easy to learn. But lesson number one is to stay humble, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what you think you have to bring to the table. There's always somebody who not only knows more than you, but is able to correct you. Lesson number two is in the realm of presentations. You know, while I inadvertently provided some misinformation, the object of the talk wasn't necessarily to establish the frequency or infrequency of the event, but more how to be mentally and physically prepared for that event to happen, so that should it happen, you can take the appropriate steps. So I guess lesson number two comes into the fact that if the first four slides don't necessarily blend or have anything to do with your take-home points, don't necessarily have to include them to establish relevance or credibility to your talk. The third lesson for me is kind of reminiscent of the first lesson, but regardless of who you are, regardless of your level of experience, regardless of how many certifications you have or your status within the industry, you are still, at the end of the day, human and not above making a mistake and unintentionally misinforming people or making yourself look like a complete idiot at the end of the day. So I guess in short, to kind of summarize everything that we've talked about this far today, those of you that were at that conference this past weekend and saw my presentation, I did make a mistake. I had a wrong number in the opening slide regarding population data. The numbers surrounding that data make much more sense when you actually plug in the right number. And you'll come up with literally half of everything else we had spoken about in the first four slides. Everything else in the presentation was spot on as far as the algorithms within the individual treatment protocol for that particular patient, but the frequency or infrequency of that particular event was inadvertently, unintentionally, and apologetically skewed. So I apologize to you for misinforming you, providing you with a data set that was inaccurate. I want to apologize to that other speaker for my attitude and mentality in accepting any form of criticism. And I also want to apologize to the board of educators for the same thing, inadvertently providing misinformation. I hope that you can see past this and next year will give me a second chance. But regardless of whether or not I'm given a second chance there or anywhere, I could not go on as an educator without making this right. So with that, I will leave you. Thank you for listening. Again, this was not an easy episode to do. Admitting failure and admitting defeat in front of the masses is definitely a hard pill to swallow. Until next time, watch out for yourselves. Watch out for each other. Keep your boots polished. Stay humble. And we'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this production are in no way a substitution for your agency's policies, procedures or guidelines. The content and ideas are that of Black Cloud Society, and in no way reflect the views and opinions of the employers of those involved with this production. We thank you for tuning in.